On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone and rolled it away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the woman because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying there by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened.
Thanks so much, mate. Keep your Bibles open on that passage, and let's ask that God, the God who loves to speak to us, was speaking to our hearts by His Spirit this morning. Let's ask Him to do that now. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this amazing day. And we pray that you, the God who speaks by your Spirit, will cut your truth into our hearts and change us today for the glory of Jesus and our great, great blessing. Amen. It was a very, very dark day. It was bleak. It was Friday. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and another Mary, and other women from Galilee were there. They saw the whole thing. It was horrific to watch. There, Jesus, who they loved and followed, was hanging on a cross amidst two criminals. They saw the sky turn black. In the middle of the day, the darkness descended. They heard Jesus cry out from the cross, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." They saw him take his last breath and then watched him die. You see, death always wins. We all know that. And so did they. They saw Jesus' body was taken down from the cross. They watched as his body, his lifeless body, was carried and laid in a garden tomb. They saw it all as Jesus' body was taken and put into a tomb. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. They watched as a stone was rolled across the grave, keeping Jesus' body safe inside, safe from anybody stealing it. And there Jesus lay. They went home with heavy, heavy hearts. They got spices and perfumes ready for his body. That was a dark, dark day. But that day was Friday, the darkest day in the history of the world. Friday. They rested on Saturday. They sat there, bewildered, wondering what had happened. Jesus had such an amazing welcome at the beginning of the week, but now he'd gone. It felt utterly hopeless. Bewildering, hard to understand. It just did not make any sense. What is going on? It was the end of the week. It felt like the end of everything as they'd come to know it. Death had won. But then that was Friday. But in our reading, it's Sunday. It's not the end. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of a new week. It is the first day of the week. The first day. Look at chapter 24, verse 1. On the first day of the week, Luke shouts that to us. Everything began to change. It's like a new start, a fresh beginning. On day 6, Friday, the work of God to redeem and save his people is done. And Jesus cried out from the cross, "It is finished." On the 7th day, they rested. But now, in our passage, this is the first day. The first day of a new era, the start of a new creation, a new beginning, a whole new world is about to begin on that first Christian Easter Sunday. But the amazing thing is this, that the two groups of people in our story, the friends, the women, and the disciples, don't expect what's about to happen. That this new day, this new beginning is coming. They don't really understand it, because death always wins, doesn't it? And as they come across the evidence that Jesus is no longer dead but alive, the two groups of people can't work it out. You see, what do they need to grasp? What do our souls need to understand today? As we get our heads around Easter Sunday 2019, what do those dear people in Sri Lanka whose churches were bombed today on Easter Sunday, people killed, need to remember on this Easter day? What do all nations need to understand? Well, it's the answer to this question. Here's the question. What does the empty tomb of Jesus mean? You see, the reality is this. That death casts a dark shadow over all of life. It is a terrible curse, and it catches us all. All of us wish that we and our loved ones did not have to face death. And that deep longing for hope unites all people. So that's why this question, what does the empty tomb of Jesus mean, is so important we grasp today. Now, when you go to the cupboard and you find the empty tin, you know someone's eaten the biscuits. Or you go to the driveway, the car is missing, you think the kids have got my car. Again. You find an empty tomb. What to think? Has someone snatched the body? Did he really die? What is going on? Well, the first visitors to the tomb just don't know what to make of it. It's the ladies in our story. We hear the name of three of them, but there's a bunch of others there as well. They go to the empty tomb. Have a look at there in verse 1. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and others went to the tomb on the first day, carrying the spices to embalm his body. But when they got there, the stone had been rolled away. Verse 2. Who moved that? They bravely go into the tomb. And inside the tomb, they see that Jesus' body is not there. It has gone, just strips of linen lying there. And they don't know what to make of it. They can't make sense of it. What is going on? It's not obvious to them what's happened. There they are, verse 4, wondering. Wondering. And they get the shock of their life. Suddenly, two men. Two angels, messengers from God, appeared. Their clothes were as bright as lightning. They flashed into the room. These heavenly figures appeared to the ladies. They were terrified. Well, you would be, wouldn't you? You would be terrified. And they're so scared, they bow their heads down to the ground. And the messenger from God speaks words that make sense of the empty tomb. Verse 5. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Good question. Well, they could have answered, well, actually, we saw Jesus' body die. He really died. His lifeless body was taken to the place where dead bodies are kept, in the grave. We're looking for a dead man where they keep dead people. But the angels say, no, no. Why do you look for the living among the dead? They're looking in the wrong place. Can you imagine the shock? What? Pardon? What did you say? Why did you look for the living among the dead? Well, the angels make it clear with the dazzling light of this first day, of this new beginning. They say, he is not here. He has risen. During the Second World War, A.A. Milne, the writer of Winnie the Pooh and his wife, received the tragic message that their son, Billy Moon, who is Christopher Robin in the stories, was missing, presumed dead, killed. And it devastated them. Death had won. But one night, as they sat in their home in the Ashdown Forest, there was a knock at the door. And they opened it to see that their son, presumed dead, was alive. And standing before them. What a shock. What an unexpected, glorious surprise. They were not expecting to see their son standing at the door ever again. How wonderful. Well, Jesus really had died. He was not missing, stolen, presumed dead. He had died. The evidence is there. Dead and buried. No wonder these women can't get their heads around what's happening. They were not expecting to find the glorious news that Jesus is alive. What does the empty tomb mean? He is not here. He has risen. Now, what is it that convinces them that this is true? Do you spot that in our passage in God's words? It's our second question this morning. Whose words make sense of the empty tomb? Well, we see that it's Jesus' words. You see, Jesus' words make sense of the empty tomb. It's Jesus' words that make sense of life. It's Jesus' words that make sense of death. And our death and his death. The truth is that it's only ever Jesus' words, the words of God, that will make any sense of what's going on in our lives and in this story today. And what are the words that the angels remind them of? Well, they're there in verse 7. Here they are. Jesus said it many times to them. The Son of Man, that's another name for Jesus, must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day rise again. Now, for sure, they'd seen Judas betray Jesus and hand him over to his enemies. Tick. For sure, on that dark day, Friday, he was crucified. Tick. They saw him dead and buried. So which of these three things that Jesus said was now happening? Yes. Remember Jesus' words. The empty tomb means that Jesus is alive. He has risen. Tick. And verse 8 we see, they remembered his words. What joy. What hope. What a wonderful new beginning. He has risen. Whose words make sense of the empty tomb? It's the words of Jesus. His words always make sense of life. But did you spot what happened next? The women are so excited, they have to run all the way back to the 11 disciples. Off they run, and they burst into the room on this first day with the disciples. And they tell the disciples the amazing news of what has happened. But what do the disciples do? Do they believe them? No, verse 11. They think their words are a load of rubbish. These disciples are just like us. They're a bunch of skeptics. Dead people don't come back to life. Don't try and pull the wool over our eyes. We saw Jesus died. He was buried. They thought the words were nonsense. That's a medical term. That means delirious talk. Of course, Luke, the doctor, would put that in. Delirious talk. Even though they had heard the words of Jesus, they had not understood what he meant. It's going to take a lot of convincing. And in our passage, we see that Peter just has to find out more. Can you see? He runs off, verse 12. He gets to the tomb. He bends over. And he sees in his eyes the strips of linen that were wrapped around Jesus. But there was no body there. And we see him thinking to himself, what on earth is going on? What is happening? And as he walks away, we see the seeds of faith begin to grow in him as he wonders to himself what has happened. If you get a chance today, maybe in the sunshine, read the rest of Luke 24. It's amazing. As Jesus himself stands among the disciples and says, "Peace be with you," the skeptics believe as they meet the risen Lord Jesus. And it's written down for us that we might believe and be sure and have hope and remember Jesus' words. You see, for us all today, we all live for the reality of Friday, when death seems to win, when sickness ruins our lives, when grief cripples us, when things happen we can't understand why. We are heartbroken. We live in a broken world. And we live in Friday. We live in the valley of the shadow of death. But let's not forget, we also live with a future hope and the present friendship of the first day. We are people of the first day of the week, of new beginnings, of a living hope. Understanding the empty tomb is the way to new start, a new beginning, fresh hope, forgiveness, salvation from hell to heaven through Jesus Christ. And weary souls can find comfort today in the empty tomb. Maybe today you would not yet call yourself a Christian. Will you see the blessing that even on the darkest day, the Friday, Christ made the way for you to be forgiven, to know him, to know your sins are forgiven, and to be welcomed one day into heaven, a new day. As Jesus says in John's Gospel, "Whoever believes in me shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life." Have you trusted that yourself? Have you made that truth your truth that you're building your life upon? Maybe you want to find out more. We run a course in Wetherspoons on Tuesday nights. We're happy to run it during the day as well, called Christianity Explored, a chance for you to grapple with these big questions of who is Jesus? Why did he come? What does it mean to follow him? Do the course. Take a card at the back. Fill in your details. We'll find the best time for you to do the course. A great chance to explore more of who Jesus is and what the empty tomb is all about. Don't leave this stuff floating in the air. It is a matter of life and death. Or maybe you'd rather take a book. We've got loads of free books that will help you to understand this glorious message of Easter. But I guess many of us today are believers. And maybe today we are facing disappointment and darkness and sorrow. We have tears in our eyes because life is so hard. Well, let us be encouraged by the encouragement of Jesus, our loving shepherd and saviour, that he is risen, that death has been defeated, that this life is a shadow of the glory to come. I love the way we have flowers all around the church. They're a picture of the glory to come, the glory to come through Christ. And as we wait for that day through faith in Christ, let our needy hearts, distressed at times by the sorrows of life, find comfort and hope in the gospel. Do you know, I love Peter's story, this guy who went peering into the grave and how he met the risen Jesus, and Jesus forgave him for his sins and began to follow him. And he wrote this amazing verse that I often read to people, Christians, as they face death. A great verse. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now that is life. That is life for anyone who will receive it. Father, we praise you for the glory of Easter, for the historicity that it's true, that it really happened, that it's changed so many people's lives. And Lord, we long that it would change our lives today. As believers, would you refresh us with the hope of the gospel through our tears? And those who don't know you, they come to know you as the living Lord Jesus who forgives and restores and rebuilds and gives future hope. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.